Right, folks, back to Europe again. When Kate arrived and she sat down there, the first person she seen was Henry Reilly. And she thought she was at the wrong party conference. Henry has found his true home. And it is... as a matter of personal pleasure for me to welcome another Kilkeel man to the podium to propose a vote of thanks to our guest speaker.
Leader, Chairman, party officers, ladies and gentlemen, I speak with absolute sincerity whenever I say that I am humbled and honoured to be here among kin. That's what I now do. And I would like to thank our guest speaker, Kate Hoey. Whenever you see Kate on some of these political programmes and you hear that pristine Ulster accent that hasn't been diluted or interfered with by English regionalism, it gives me a great sense of pride that we have people of that calibre who are in politics. So thank you very, very much, Kate, for coming to our conference here today and giving such an inspiring and informative speech. In terms of Europe, obviously I've always been very opposed to Europe. Ever since, as a 17, 18-year-old, I used to be in the company of Enoch Powell on a regular basis. I was a sub-agent for the Ulster Unionist Party in South Down from a very young age, and I would go out round constituency work with Enoch on many occasions, and he instilled in me a distrust of the European Union from that early age. And if you look, Kate has given a very, very good overview of what's going on, and that young lad from Londonderry, brilliant this morning, absolutely brilliant. There's a future MLA. But if you look at what the Assembly has done, corporation tax, it's nonsense. Our business is not dependent on corporation tax. And if you look at the additional bureaucracy and penalties that our membership of the European Union puts on our business, £28.5 billion a year for the UK. That's just in additional expenses to administer all the bureaucracy that they put upon us. In the last 4 years, 4 years just, 3,850 additional rules and regulations governing business. Now, that's 94 million words. And if you were to sit down, if you're a small businessman in Northern Ireland and you sit down to read that, it would take you 94 days, 24/7 at an average reading pace. So it's impossible to comply. And one of the reasons why the Europeans do this is because they live under that Napoleonic code. Their legal system, their whole way of life is different because under their system, you can't do anything unless there's a rule or a regulation that specifically allows that. We live under British common law and we can do what we want. We're free people. We can do what we want unless there's a law specifically prohibiting some activity that we do. So that's the difference in our way of life and the European way of life. I want out of Europe. I don't want that. I want to be a British free-born citizen. I was born that, and I'll stay that way to the day I die. I would just like to briefly, as I said, you've got a very, very good overview of what Europe does, the damage it does, and the benefits to leaving. But I would just like to point out some of the things that the opposition parties in Northern Ireland have said. And Nigel Dodds, great man, you would think. He said, when co-sponsoring a parliamentary motion that we should leave the EU, he said, the EU is an overbearing, anti-democratic superstructure that has intruded on almost every aspect of our lives. Now, you might say, brilliant stuff from the DUP. A few miles away, couldn't make this up, Peter Robison. What did Peter Robison? Basically the same time. He said, speaking on the task force, he said at our new office in Brussels would ensure Northern Ireland remains at the very heart of Brussels and that Brussels has been a loyal friend to Northern Ireland and a shoulder to lean on. And he even thanked the EU for the £20 million for our conflict resolution centre at the Maze. Well, ladies and gentlemen, one of my proudest moments was when I stood with Jim Allister and we beat that proposal. Ladies and gentlemen, I had good friends and family who died at the hands of blood-soaked IRA terrorists. If anybody thought that the European Union was going to pump money in here to build a memorial to those butchers, they were very, very wrong. And Jim Allister led the way on that, and I'm so grateful to him, and I was genuinely proud to stand with him. And I say this, that I know people in the building trade, and they've told me that if they ever go to try and resurrect that scheme, that they'll take a D8 in there and flatten the place, and I wish they'd do it now. So, what did the UK Independence Party for Northern Ireland, led by a man called David McNairy? David's claiming to be the sole heir and successor to the Euroscepticism in Northern Ireland. And you know what? I actually done a wee bit of research on it. And you know, just before David transferred over to UKIP after he left the UUP, I repeat my party's call for the creation of a dedicated Stormont Committee on European Affairs to give a proper focus and to coordinate the province's European Union funding initiatives and policies. That would enable us to use Europe far more and become an active part of European Union policy formulation, which would ultimately create an active financial and policy support here for the Assembly. So here's a man who now calls himself a Eurosceptic that wants to bypass Westminster, the properly constituted parliament of this country, and run into Brussels and do deals with Brussels bureaucrats. That's not a Eurosceptic, that's a Europhile. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I actually thought maybe David had been out to Syria and been helping those moderate rebels we hear about, and maybe he had had some sort of Damascus-style conversion before he came over to us, but that's out for the verdict for the jury. In terms of the Ulster Unionists, you know, where do they stand in anything now? And Jim Nicholson has apparently gone so native that he actually speaks French a lot of the time. And apparently he was speaking to Mike Nesbitt recently, and he said, "Je m'appelle Jim Nicholson." And he said, "Descendez sur le Mike, que je veux absenter de mon défunt." And for any of you people in the English style, in the English language, that is, "Mike, get off the fence or your bottom will go sore." So I'll not give you that in more in Ulster Scots dialect because it's a wee bit too rough. So there we are. And honestly, as I stood in this conference today, I heard the speeches, the quality of the candidates, the organisational ability of the TUV, I honestly believe we are on the cusp of something great come next May. And I think... I honestly believe it's all there to play for. And one point I would like to make, I was in Turkey recently, and I lost my phone in Istanbul. I got it stolen in Istanbul. Whenever I come home from Istanbul, you know, all this press controversy swirling around Henry Reilly. Wee Henry Reilly from Kilkee. I'm actually quite a shy and humble man, believe it or not. I don't deliberately go out of my way to attract attention, but it was forced upon me over that period of time. But I lost my phone in Istanbul and come home, and there was journalists ringing the landline where everybody was going nuts, and I didn't know. I had always liked the TUV, always thought, you know, true progression, maybe I would join the TUV eventually, or asked to join. But I got my SIM card from O2 sent to the house this morning, just after coming home from Turkey, a few days after coming home. It was completely wiped clean of every mobile phone number that I've got since mobile phones come out. And I answered the phone. And who was it in that phone? The first call in that new SIM card. Very first call. Jim Allister. Now, Jim Allister didn't ring me up to sympathise with me or say, come over to us or whatever. He phoned me up and he says, "Henry, there's a planning application there I would like to give you a hand with." You know, that's the nature of Jim Allister. But I think within my psyche, it sent a message to me. You know, the first man to contact me after coming home on that new phone. And I was very, very honoured whenever I joined the Ulster Unionist Party, joined the traditional joined the traditional unionist voice. And the reason that Ulster Unionist got into my mind was because I was at the opening of the new fantastic Kilkeel Orange Hall that we have down there. And there was this man, and he said to me, "Oh, Don, Jim Allister, he's a good enough man, but he comes over a wee bit cross sometimes." And I said to him, "Look, I would rather have a man that's a bit cross at times than a man that tells you lies and betrays his people." But that same man said to me, he says, "Henry, have you had to keep your head down and stop shouting about Sinn Féin being in government and all these different things? If you had to keep your head down and shut up, you would have been an MLA 10 years ago. Look at the money and all you would have got." Well, ladies and gentlemen, money's never been my God. I serve my country and my people, and I will continue to do so. And I will do the absolute best I can within the TUV. And this is the only party for me now. Thank you very much.